May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's reading from John's Gospel is from Jesus' farewell discourse, which he gave toward the end of the Last Supper, just hours before his arrest and his crucifixion. It won't surprise you when I tell you that the central theme of Jesus' teaching is love. The word love is repeated 5 times in the first 2 verses of the reading and is repeated 9 times in the 9 verses of the entire reading. Greek, the language of the New Testament, had several words which we could translate as love. The most frequently used words included philio, which is friendship, storge, which is familial affection, and eros, the love of the beautiful or the desirable. Another less common word was agape. The early church adopted agape as a word to describe the love which is part of the very nature of God, and in which by God's grace we are allowed to participate. That is the love of which Jesus speaks in this morning's reading from John 15, verses 9 through 17. All 9 of the mentions of love in this passage are translations of the word agape. My favorite definition of agape is that of the late New Testament scholar and the 101st Archbishop of Canterbury, Donald Coggan. Archbishop Coggan defines agape this way. Agape is a setting of the will for the eternal good of another. Isn't that a great definition? Agape is the setting of the will. So it's not just an emotion or a feeling of euphoria, which is how love is so often used in English. But agape is an act of the will. In other words, it involves loving actions, and it's for the eternal good of another. Our reading begins in verse 9 with these words of Jesus. As the Father has loved, or agaped me, so have I loved, or agaped you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Here Jesus gives us a glimpse into the inner life of God. And what Jesus reveals to us is that within the very nature and being of God is a relationship of agape love. Jesus tells us that the Father loves the Son. But that love, which is part of the very nature of God, is unselfish because it is agape love. And it reaches beyond itself to us, and it invites us into that relationship. It's an amazing and mind-blowing promise that Christ loves us with the love that the Father has for the Son. Jesus encourages us to remain in his love. And in verse 10, he tells us how to do that. He says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Now, when I first read that, I don't like it. Because Jesus says that if we are to remain in his love, we need to obey his commands in the same way that he obeys the commands of his Father. Now, the reason I instinctively don't like this is that Jesus appears to be saying, if you want to remain in my love, you'd better do what I order you to do, because that's what I have to do too. But when you keep reading, you see that something else is going on here. For after Jesus speaks about obeying his commands, he goes on to say, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Now that sounds good. But it's also surprising. Jesus is telling us that there is a link between obedience to his commands and joy. I don't know about you, but I don't usually associate obedience with joy in my thinking. And so this begs the question, what is Jesus calling us to do? And in verse 12, he answers that clearly and without ambiguity. My command is this, he says. Okay, drum roll. Are you ready for it? Seriously, are you ready for his command? It's a command from Jesus. His command is this. He says, my command is, love each other as I have loved you. And that's the link between obedience and joy. The link is love. And this is so important to Jesus that this is the second time, he'll go on a third time, but this is the second time he tells this to his disciples during the Last Supper. For earlier, just after washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus had said, and that's from John 13, verse 34, and Jesus says this with great emphasis because he begins, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. And you know what it is. Love each other as I have loved you. And this is where obedience becomes joy. Because first we receive Christ's love for us. Christ's love for us. And imagine that for a moment. We say those words and it's sort of, you know, we're used to saying it, but imagine that Christ loves us. He loves you. Augustine of Hippo said that Christ loves us as if there was only one of us to love. And it's an infinite and eternal love offered freely to you and to me. And the command is that out of the abundance of Christ's love for us, that we love one another. The word obedience implies for us coercion or a lack of freedom. But love, and of course here I am speaking of agape love, is always offered freely as an act of the will. And obedience to such a command is to enter into the utter joy of God's love, both given and received. Now remember that agape love is an act of the will for the eternal good of another. An act of the will implies action of some sort. And in this morning's reading, we see this in John 15, verse 13, Jesus describes the ultimate action of such love. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Remember the context here. Jesus says these words just hours before his arrest, his scourging, and his crucifixion. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The Oxford theologian and priest Alistair McGrath, The Oxford theologian and priest Alistair McGrath writes that there is nothing more that anyone can give than life itself. And this is what Jesus will give for those whom he loves. It's a profound truth that Jesus could give no more for us, and that as an act of the will, he gave his life that we might live. Just consider how much you are loved by the one through whom all things were made. The scripture tells us that he knows you and me by name, and that he offered up his life through love. But there's even more. For in verses 14 through 16 of our reading, Jesus goes on to tell us that those for whom Jesus died are not so much his servants as his friends. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples during the Last Supper, he made it clear that they were not menial servants, but they were his friends. those with whom he confided all that he had learned from the Father. Friendship was highly valued and honored in the first century. Aristotle wrote of three kinds of friendship. The first is friends who are useful to us. Perhaps they're useful because of their skills or their expertise or their contacts. Second, there are friends whose company we enjoy, and they're friends because we enjoy them. Perhaps because of their intelligence or their sense of humor, or maybe they say nice things about us, but there's something that we enjoy. But best of all, the third one, according to Aristotle, are friends whose goodness and wisdom are greater than ours and whose company makes us better people. The great 13th century theologian and Dominican, Thomas Aquinas, this message brought to you by the Dominican Order, St. Thomas taught us that that is the kind of friendship into which Christ calls us, that third kind. Aquinas believed that part of the goal of the Christian life is to become friends with God. And through such a friendship, we hope to take on God's characteristics, becoming more Christ-like, and ultimately learning to love one another as God loves us. In verse 16, Jesus gives us another surprising teaching as he tells us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." This can surprise us because we often feel that we chose to follow him. But Jesus gives us a deeper insight here. He tells us that our own friendship with him, like his friendship with the original disciples, the fishermen at the shore, was initiated by him. Now, such an insight should give encouragement, dignity, and joy to us all, for it affirms that we are not disciples by accident. We are followers of Jesus because we have been called and loved by him. He has chosen you and me. It's a profound mystery, but should fill us with joy. And that brings us to verse 17, the end of our appointed reading, a verse which repeats and sums up this morning's passage. This is the third time that Jesus says it. He repeats these words and he rephrases them because our Lord wants this joyful commandment to get into the very core of who we are as individuals and as a church family. Jesus closes by saying, and you know these words, let them just steep into you and sink into us all. Jesus says, "This is my command. Love each other." May it be so. Alleluia.